The gospel is powerful, isn't it? It says it's the gospel message that changes people's hearts and lives. And that's good to remember. Well, we're going to hear one more testimony. We're looking forward to hearing from you.
That's great. It's really dangerous to put a mic in front of me. So I hope no one has any other plans for the day. I'm just going to settle right into this. So I have a pretty boring salvation message. So I'm not going to tell you that. I have been a Christian since as long as I can remember. I have no memory of not being a Christian. I was saved when I was young. Saved. Hate that word. It's terrible. But that's all we've got. But what I do have that is not boring at all is bipolar disorder. I'll let that sink in for a second. There are 6 million people in the United States with bipolar disorder, which is a fun fact. So if you put them all together in one city, which is not a city I want to go to, it's bigger than the Boston metro area, which has about 4.8 million people. So let's not do that. It's a scary thing to talk about. This is the first time I've really ever told anyone. So congrats on that. You know, yay, you'll all get a sticker. It's not something that's easy to talk about. It's stigmatized. I'm sure that you've all thought about it at some point in time because we all say things like, oh, the weather's manic, bipolar, or they're manic, or something like that. So it's stigmatized. It's misunderstood. People are considered to be crazy. I myself call myself crazy, but that's because I have a diagnosis, so I'm allowed. So we are just going to bust right on through that vulnerability wall, like the Kool-Aid man, and just get right down into the nitty-gritty. So we'll start at the beginning. About 20 years ago, when I was 18, my dad died. He was sick for about 10 weeks. With kidney cancer. It was horrible and traumatic. And he was probably far too much the foundation of my faith. I relied on him more than I did on God. Now, during his sickness, a faulty theology settled right into my brain and kind of took up residence there until very, very recently. We prayed fervently for his healing, and we believed very strongly that he would be healed. Clearly, that was not in God's plan. So two verses that we liked to say a lot during this time when we were praying was Matthew 17:20, loosely paraphrased. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible. The other one being Matthew 18:19, wherever two or more are gathered, what they ask for will be done. He died. So, see, I don't want to cry. And I'm gonna, so could take a minute. So that really sunk in a pretty bad way. Satan decided to just settle that right into my brain and twist it and twist it and twist it to the point where I was mad at God. I didn't believe that healing was something that was for me. I questioned whether or not healing was anything for anyone. I was mad when people were healed, when they didn't die of cancer. And so for the next, let's say, 20 years, I was mad at God, on and off. I never lost my faith. I was perfectly happy to tell God I was mad at him, like a lot, I was in and out of churches. Luke and I moved 3 or 4 times. We went to some churches that were very much supportive of mental illness. Some that liked to say that you could just pray it away, and that it was rooted in sin. And during this time, I started to have times of extreme rage. And during this rage, I was also super productive and really excited. And I thought that I could take on the world. And I was like, the greatest thing ever. Sounds awesome, right? Then, afterwards, I would have extreme bouts of depression where I thought that it would be better if I stopped existing altogether. So during these times of rage, I thought, oh, I'm just a really passionate person, and like I'm Scottish, right? Like they get mad. Nope. As it turns out, that was not the case. Then 9 years ago, I was born, and things got a lot worse. I had postpartum depression, and for about a year, I thought everything was fine, and I could handle it on my own, and I could pray it away, and everything would be fine, and I could handle it. It was all on me. I can do it. Yay. I can do it. I couldn't, as it turns out. So about a year later, with a lot of people telling me that I should, I started going to a mom's group at a church. Not this one. I know. Sorry. Don't tell anybody. Secret. Like my bipolar disorder. Also a secret. If you guys could all just not tell anyone. So I started going to this mom's group where, you know, you talk about your kids and you talk about how much maybe you don't like them sometimes. And you talk about marriage and all that great stuff. And I started talking about my rage. And the way I would be really, really happy, and then not so happy anymore. And I would fly off the handle and be really, really angry and feel really out of control and not know why. Again, it's because I'm Scottish, just so everyone knows. And it was during this time, while I was explaining this, being very flippant about it, being funny about it, because clearly I don't know if you noticed, but humor is the way that I deflect. And she very kindly gave me the name of a therapist who is a psychologist and also happens to be a outwardly practicing Christian. And I think in the psychology world, I don't know how much you know about it, but that's not common. It's kind of like finding a unicorn. And so I latched right on. I was like, all right, let's do this. So I started, he started treating me for depression. It took me about a year and a half to accept the idea of medication. I still struggle with that sometimes, but I can tell you I need it. And a lot of people do. It was about 2 years after that that I fell into the deepest depression of my life. Now I'm gonna cry. I couldn't get out of bed. Had to pull me out of bed in the morning. He missed a lot of work because I was afraid to be alone with my daughter. I wasn't just afraid. I was afraid that I couldn't be a good mom. I was afraid that I couldn't handle feeding her. She was like four, so I guess she could have gotten a snack. But we watched a lot of movies that summer. We watched a lot of movies. I don't really know what else we did. not really sure. But he had to come home a lot because I would call him in a panic that I couldn't handle it. I never wanted to kill myself, but I wanted to stop living. I truly believed, I truly believed that the world would be better off without me. that my kids would be better off if they didn't have to see this big ball crazy, if they didn't have to experience it, that my husband would be better off. And I would pray to not wake up. And it was during this time, which actually turned out to be a blessing, yay, that led me to my bipolar diagnosis. So part of what threw me into this depression is that I didn't think that I could have another baby because I didn't want to be medicated when I was pregnant. So I had convinced myself this isn't for me. So I ended up going to a doctor who specialized in prepartum. Is that called? No. People having babies. And she specialized in managing medications while you're pregnant. And I went to her. We had a very long conversation about the history of my, now what we know is bipolar disorder. And she was able to identify, you didn't have postpartum depression. You don't have generalized depression and anxiety disorder. You have undiagnosed bipolar disorder. Yay. It sounded horrible the first time I heard it. And pretty soon thereafter, I realized what a relief it was, that it was something I could address. So we're going to have a little psychology class real quick. Take notes. There will be a pop quiz. Bipolar disorder exists on a spectrum. So there's bipolar 1, which is what a lot of people picture. You picture people in straight jackets and padded rooms. It's okay if you've pictured that. I used to, too. I have bipolar 2 with rapid cycling. Super fun. It basically means that my mania is hypomania, which means I'll be really super excited. Like, everything's great. I'm on top of the world. And then I can switch in a second and be the scariest thing you've ever seen. Then there's the lows, which we discussed. So, face ID. So during this time, I started having a difficulty with how to reconcile my medication, because I was finally on the right medication, and therapy, and my faith. Because how do I accept that I have to be on medication and go to therapy to manage something, but then shouldn't God just take care of this? Shouldn't I just believe more? Shouldn't I have the faith of a mustard seed? And that was a really difficult time until very recently. So it took me a long time to figure out that those things don't have to be separate. That these are, I knew intellectually that these were tools that God gave me to manage a chemical imbalance in my brain here on earth. They were all, he was behind all of them. They were the tools that he gave me here. But I was supposed to lean on him. Intellectually, I knew that, but I wasn't doing it. So recently, I'd say since about September, I went to Berea, which if you know me was like, I mean, okay. I went to like a women's thing. It's not. I don't do that. I don't do that. We went and like slept on cots and stuff. No. So my sister, you might know, made me go. She's the only one who can make me do stuff. I had an experience while I was there, which now I recognize was God saying, all right, enough is enough. there was a couple there who had experienced a lot of turmoil in their marriage. They'd gotten divorced and gotten back together, and they have a music ministry. And I went to their breakout session. Is that what they call them? I don't know. I don't even remember. But they started singing a song, and I sat there and bawled. And part of bipolar disorder is that my brain can be like a giant ball of misfiring wires with a lot of lies. Sometimes I don't know what I'm going to get. And it always feels out of control and crazy, and like I can't get a grasp on what I'm thinking or what I'm feeling. And in that moment, for the first time in years, my mind was blank. It turned off, and all I could feel or think was God saying very clearly, "I am your rock." So here I'm crying again. And that stuck, as God often does. He's a way of doing that. And I told some people that day that I have bipolar disorder. It was like God just ripped open my heart and started cleaning out the sludge. I was like, cool, this is fun. And I went back to the room with the cots, and I told a couple of people that I felt safe telling, and it was the scariest thing I think I had done in a very long time. She was like, thank God, and I have been shouldering this for a long time. We need a little help. And they didn't reject me. No one thought I was crazy. No one threw holy water on me or started casting out demons. And I went away from that weekend feeling, well, really vulnerable and scared, but also a sense of relief that I could say it out loud. And then, about 6 or 7 weeks ago, I received a gift that I believe that God had prepared me for receiving for a while up until that point. So this is where I'm going to cry, so settle on in. I had the biggest anxiety attack that I have ever had in my life. It was so extreme that I didn't think it was ever going to stop. Oh, well played. That I didn't think it would ever stop. I thought, this is it. This is what's going to kill me. I found out that I was like, oh, my insurance company isn't going to cover as much as my therapy as I thought they did. Great. I can't go to therapy. Great. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't stop crying. I don't know if you've ever had an anxiety attack. I couldn't focus on anything. My eyes couldn't focus. I couldn't move. And I couldn't stop sobbing uncontrollably. All I could get out, my nanny came upstairs. That was fun. And I said, just take the kids away. Please take the kids away. Shook the kids away. So she knew. And the only other person who knew was my sister. And who finally answered the phone. Sorry, I didn't mean to throw you under the bus. And all I could get out was, please come home. Please. Please. It was literally the only thing I could get out. And I had texted me, I can't breathe. So he responded, I don't know how to help you. Just pray. And I, at that point, I couldn't text, I couldn't call, I couldn't talk to anybody. I couldn't see a way out of it. And then it stopped. It just stopped. It never just stopped before. Normally in those situations, everyone in my support system, which I have a really good one, would go into crisis mode. Everyone knew their roles. Someone would take care of the kids. Someone would make sure I could eat. Everyone would keep everyone away from me, and it would be a residual thing for days until I could regain some sense of, I'd have to go to my therapist. It'd be a whole crisis mode, and it just stopped. And then he texted me and said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." I don't know how else to describe this, but it felt like it was just lifted away. That the vice grip that existed on my chest and my head for my entire adulthood was gone. Thank you. Thank you. I'm here all week. And he was telling me that the exact words that I was using to describe how I felt were the exact words that she had been praying. And she prayed that that it would be lifted and that a wave of peace would come over me. And that is exactly what happened. And it was the exact way that I could describe it. That was it. And after that was what was really miraculous. I had a conversation with God. Thank you. That I hadn't had in a very long time. I don't remember the last time I had a conversation like this with God. And I said earlier, I didn't think that it was for me. In the same way that my dad wasn't healed, I didn't think that healing was for me. I didn't think that, I guess, that God loved me. I did, intellectually, but finally, my heart caught up to my head. And I realized in those moments, I saw with such clarity, God was telling me with so much clarity that yes, I'm behind the medications. I'm prescribing them. I'm speaking to you through your therapist. That's all me. And I love you. Not just you. I love you. And since then, it's gone. It's just gone. I still have bipolar disorder. Not going to stop taking my meds, and I'm not going to stop going to therapy because that's a real chemical imbalance. But the grip that I believe that Satan held on my chest and in my mind that kept me from reconciling those things with my faith is gone. I still get mad. I still have normal human feelings. But it's gone. And I've always known that my bipolar disorder doesn't define me. It's not something who I, it's not who I am. So, quick lesson, never say someone is bipolar. Say that they have bipolar disorder. Never say someone is depressed. Say that they have depression because it does not define them. It is not who they are. It is what they have. My brother-in-law has diabetes. I don't say he is diabetes. I say he has diabetes. If you broke your leg, I wouldn't call you broken leg. And again, I had always known this intellectually, but now more than ever in my life, I feel it. I'm not bipolar disorder. I'm a child of God. And he loves me. Like a lot. So back to those verses, I don't know why my dad died. I don't know why I have bipolar disorder. I don't know why horrible things happen. Those things are true, but so is God's word, and it always has been. So those verses that Satan had put into my mind, into a whole twisted, horrible, false theology, are still true, but not like that. Because it's always been true that nothing is impossible with God, and it's always been true that he answers prayer. And Satan can't lie to me about that anymore. He's going to try. He's going to try. But I'm not going to let him. Or God's not going to let him. You get it. And now what I focus on is Psalm 71:3. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. So to be clear, I don't think that this was just an isolated incident. I don't think that I prayed and everything was better. I think that God had been priming me for a long time to receive this gift. And I think that it has a lot to do with the fervent prayers from a lot of people here. I know a lot of you, I don't know how many of you, I don't know, you've been praying, told a lot of people to pray. she's like that. thank God she's like that. And you probably didn't know what you were praying for. In fact, I know you didn't because she didn't tell you. But if you're one of them, now you know. So thank you. I think that's all I got.
Thank you so much.